part of my Monday morning show prep all the time. I read Peter King, Football Morning in America, but it comes out right at a time when I'm kind of organizing the show. So I read it throughout the show, and I just read something. In 2005, which wasn't that long ago, two people on planet Earth, two people on planet Earth finished the NFL season with 4,000 yards passing. Two.
Yeah.
This year, in 2020, last year, I should say, 12.
12. Wow.
It's gone up that high.
There you go.
Like 4,000 yards passing is now more of a benchmark. Like, think about it. If you add a couple more guys to that, it is the average expectation of an NFL quarterback to get to 4,000 yards. And in 2005, it was extremely elite to get to 4,000 yards.
I don't even
passing.
Know what to say about that. I really do not even know what
you're
to say.
You're talking about the change
is
of football.
Ridiculous.
Is that one stat just smacks you in the head of how different
the game is. You know what's amazing about Netflix? I think it's coming back. I think it's coming back, Basinonians. I do. It's cyclical. It always has been a very cyclical game, and I think at some point in time, it's coming back. The reality that if you're playing the game of football, if you have a mouth guard in and you have shoulder pads on, you got to bust somebody.
It's always been cyclical, but here's one catch. It's never been so easy with the rules. Old school NFL was play the game. Now it's anytime there's not enough offense, sure, let's change the rules so we get more offense. Or say it's health and safety protocols, but what does that lead to? More offense.
Yes.
So therefore, you have to assume this is just going to keep rolling.
But if you look at some of the best teams in the National Football League and what they did last year, you know what they did better than anything else? They attacked the line of scrimmage. Isn't that right, Tom Brady? Isn't that right, BA? Attack the line of scrimmage. The best way to do that is a downhill runner. Attack the line of scrimmage and then use play action to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Mm. Text Pepsi to 620-620 right now. This is pretty cool. You get a chance to win custom Ketel Marte cleats and a copy of MLB The Show 2021 and an exclusive suite experience for you and your friends. Sweet. Text Pepsi to 620-620. Brian Windhorst, ESPN, NBA insider, trying to explain the worst phrase in mankind's history. France is better than the United States.
They're not happy about it. You know, Damian Lillard, I think, was sober about it and basically said, when you come play for Team USA, you don't expect something like this to happen. You don't expect to play this way. You don't expect guys who are NBA stars to miss shots and not execute like this. I don't care who you're playing. Now, Greg Popovich took a different tact, crediting the opponent, which is fine, but even in a game where Kevin Durant has foul trouble, Kevin Durant goes to the bench and you come back with Jason Tatum, an all-NBA player. So obviously the French played well in this game, but the Americans did not execute, did not get it done. And quite frankly, they were just flat-out outplayed. It was not because they were tired. It was not because the French have some sort of special magic. It was because they got out-executed, and that is not something we're used to seeing from the national team that is unfortunately becoming more regular over the last couple of years.
Mm.
Yeah, Team USA loses to France 83-76, and although it is totally inexcusable to lose to France, I think in the long run, this is going to be the best thing that happened to Team USA. I do believe that. I mean, to suffer a bloody nose at the hands of the French, it's just a gentle reminder of how hard basketball is, especially when you're playing other teams where this is so critically important to them. Where I think a lot of NBA players look at this and go, you know, hey, listen, you know, we all know Team USA is the best. We all know where the best basketball in the world is. It's in the United States of America, and it's not even close. We all know that. We just lost a game for the first time in 17 years in Olympic play. We all understand where the best basketball is. There's a difference between desperation and desperation.
One of the real interesting things to watch the rest of this way, and I'm not really looking at Devin Booker on this. I'm kind of looking at Durant on this. But Durant has never been one where everybody jumps up and down and says, fantastic leader. Okay, that's not something everybody goes crazy about.
You're right.
But one of the things that the Olympics have always been the thought for some of the players, I show up, I get a gold medal. And ever since the Dream Team, Jordan didn't allow that to happen, but nobody could compete, you know, back in those days. Then there was this horrible lull in terrible Olympic play where they just weren't the same. Then Jerry Colangelo took over and everything skyrocketed. Hello. But also you had Kobe. And Kobe then was the alpha dog. You will follow, you'll do it this way, and everybody did it. And then LeBron kind of came in, and there was a clear-cut alpha dog. Now, who is the alpha dog on Team USA?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was interesting. There's a lot of players that probably know Durant's better than I am, so I'll let Durant lead, and Durant's not that guy. And I wonder if that affected how poorly Damian Lillard played. I'm really interested to see if somebody who steps up, and I mean leadership-wise, is it Kevin Durant when that's not his personality, or is it a Damian Lillard or somebody else when they're not as good as Kevin Durant? And could it actually be Devin Booker in that group?
That's a good observation right there, Douglas. We're going to have a front row seat. We're going to find out who steps up right here. But this is, hey, listen, have you ever been punched in the face where your nose was bleeding? Cowboy, have you ever been punched in the face where your nose was bleeding? I know you have. You had to be punched in the face. I mean, at some point in time.
Yeah.
Okay. That's enough out of you right there. Listen, blood was trickling down your philtrum over your lip and into your mouth, wasn't it? Of course it was. You know what? It's impossible to be haughty when blood is all over your face, Basinonians. For anyone who's ever been punched in the face, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When all of a sudden it drips down out of your nose, into the philtrum, over your lip, and it's on your face. You look ridiculous. It's very difficult to be haughty with a bloody nose. And metaphorically speaking, I think this is going to be really, really good for Team USA. For all the reasons you're talking about, it does seem like there might be a void of leadership on this team. And what are you laughing at? What do you mean? What?
That was a direct quote from Cowboy. I just... This is really good.
You know what, Mitch? Just pull that. From Cowboy right there.
It's just such a deep thought. I take it that he's got such a strong chin that he doesn't really remember for sure.
That was good.
I guess I did. Oh, it's time for D-backs Daily. We got punched in the mouth.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf react to yesterday's D-backs game. D-backs Daily. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at AmericaRoofingCo.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's AmericaRoofingCo.com.
Oh, this stunk when this happened. We've already had it once in this series where you get two guys get on in a row and then Javi Baez goes yard. This time we start things off with
the 0-1 pitch on the way. And Bryant swings, hits one.
It's 2-0.
Here's the 3-2, and Rizzo corks one down the line and right.
No, they went back to back. It's 3-0. Now wait to the fourth.
There's a drive hit to left, and Bodie's gone deep.
And it's 5-0.
Next.
Well, next is we did leave two runners on in the seventh with one out, and then had bases loaded in the eighth with one out, and nobody scored. Scratched out one in the ninth.
There's a line drive in a right center field. That's a hit.
And that was nice because it was another nice play for Andrew Young. So that made you feel pretty good with that run and or that home run, as he's been on a little bit of a roll, but it doesn't matter. Diamondbacks lose 2 out of 3 to the Cubs.
Got a two-game series against the Texas Rangers coming up. That's kind of a bright spot right here, right? Starting tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
You're right. That game is at 5 o'clock. It'll be on ESPN 620 a.m. tomorrow. There's your D-backs Daily coming up next, the one. And it's Chandler Jones. He wants a trade. Should they give it to him? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You've been listening to D-Backs Daily on the Doug and Wolf Show. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at AmericaRoofingCo.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's AmericaRoofingCo.com. The number one story of the day.
Everybody I've talked to this offseason about Chandler Jones has said the Cardinals aren't going to trade him.
Business is business. You know, you let that sort of stuff out.
We've been in communication with both guys. We know the situations.
Have you picked up the phone to talk to the agent about a contract extension?
I won't get into those. Are private.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
Good morning. Your one is the latest with Chandler Jones, and more specifically, a question is a big part of the latest, and that is, will Chandler Jones be there tomorrow? Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf. We're live in the Auction Community Studios. The man that was first to report it is Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. That man's going to join us at 9 o'clock this morning to go over the latest and what he knows from the situation in which Chandler Jones does not want to be a member of the Arizona Cardinals anymore.
Business is business. You know, you let that sort of stuff out. You know, guys got to handle that. You focus on what you control and let guys handle their business. He'll be back when, you know what I mean, everything sorted out.
That's June 8th from a team leader now, DJ Humphreys, the tackle for the Arizona Cardinals, saying, hey, we'll worry about ourselves. We'll let that all take place. Well, that's a great answer in June, but tomorrow it becomes a team issue if he's not there, and it's kind of not much of a team issue as far as the particular players are concerned. If he does show up, the question becomes, do the Cardinals play the game and shop him, or do they say, suck it up, we're paying you $15 million to be here?
Yeah, no doubt about it, Douglas. 15.5, I might.
I apologize, of course.
Listen, Chandler's motives on this, I think, are clear. He's going into the last year of his contract, and he's 31. You know, I mean, he wants some security going forward. I would imagine he's trying to orchestrate a business deal. A business decision is being made, which is his right to do. And it's also the right of the Arizona Cardinals to make a business decision as well, which is what I think they're doing right now. Listen, the Cards, this is a rather easy decision for the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are like, Chan, you're 31 years old. You're going to be 32 in February after you play out this contract. 32, you played in 5 games last year and had 1 sack and then blew out your bicep. And now you're going into the last year of your contract. If Chan was 26 or 27 as an edge rusher, you pay him. You sign him to a big contract. At 31, you're going to roll the dice, man. You're going to roll the dice and you're going to find out what you might get are snake eyes. But you're going to roll the dice nonetheless.
I am one that, and I've always been embarrassed to have to admit it, but it is Ron Wolfley that explained it to me and had me realize what this is about. And I used to think because the NFL team can cut you, sure, at basically any time, that then you have the right to hold out, you have the right to ask for trades, you know, you should take it into your own hands because they can cut you. But in truth, being cut is almost the insurance of the team based on the fact that they've already given you the signing bonus. The extra years on your contract sometimes are just fake. They don't really exist other than accounting purposes to spread your salary cap hit over so many years. Right. Why do they do that? Because they paid you a big signing bonus. So you've already been paid a massive signing bonus in order to accept certain amount of years. And now you say, okay, now I want to be traded or now I want a new contract. If you're the Cardinals, why should you sign a player coming off of an injury who's 31 years old to a new contract when the contract he's got already gives him $15 million this year?
Right. And once again, if Chandler Jones does not show up tomorrow, now I think this is a story. I really do. I believe that. Somebody asking for a trade, a lot of agents do that. Mm-hmm. A lot of agents will sit there, well, are you kidding me right now? We got Chandler Jones. He's going into the last year of his contract right here. This is a guy that has played extremely well under the old contract, and we want a long-term deal. Of course Chandler Jones wants a long-term deal right now. And that's the reason why. He's looking at his security in the future and saying, oh my goodness, we've got to get some type of long-term deal hammered out here. And now all of a sudden, what's your only leverage? Well, I won't play. Well, that's not Chandler Jones. It really is not Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones, the Chandler I know, is a guy that is going to show up and he is going to ball out because he's a pro through and through. He's a great dude and he's a pro through and through all the way.
He's violated nothing yet, to your point. Training camp for the veterans for the Arizona Cardinals starts tomorrow. So he's either there or he gets a $50,000 fine. And then on Wednesday, he's either there or he gets a $50,000. It's every single day, and that fine has to be paid. He's already accepted a fine, in a sense, for missing minicamp, because that is a mandatory thing with the NFL Players Association. This morning, ESPN reporter Dan Graziano was on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, and they were playing a game on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, which was hot news or not news. And they asked Dan Graziano whether the Chandler Jones trade request is hot news or not news.
I think it ends up, again, being not news, because I don't think the Cardinals are going to trade him. And I think Chandler Jones, obviously unhappy with his contract, 1 year left. But everybody I've talked to this offseason about Chandler Jones has said the Cardinals aren't going to trade him. The Cardinals aren't going to trade him. So I think it gets to a place where he comes to camp and things are okay. And maybe if the Cardinals fall out of contention, he's somebody who gets dealt at the trade deadline. But I don't think they intend to trade him right now. And I think they'll get to a point where everybody's happy for one more year.
Yeah, I don't think the Arizona Cardinals are going to even consider a trade on Chandler Jones.
Because didn't you bring in J.J. Watt to pair him with Chandler Jones?
Ding, 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 Douglas. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Yes, that's exactly what they did. I don't think the Arizona Cardinals are going to trade Chandler Jones. And honestly, I don't think Chandler Jones wants to be traded. I think he wants them to know he's unhappy. And if, in fact, he doesn't show up tomorrow, now all of a sudden he starts holding out from training camp. Yeah, to me, this could be an absolute mess. No doubt about it. But I don't think that's going to be the case. We'll see.
There's something else to keep in mind tomorrow. There is the way that the Seahawks handled Marshawn Lynch quite a few years ago, in which Marshawn Lynch did show up for minicamp to avoid a fine, but did nothing in minicamp. A miracle, magical new knee injury was giving him a little bit of trouble, so he didn't do anything in practice. Does Chandler Jones show up to camp, but magically not do the run test? Is he just kind of there? I hurt my pinky knuckle, and I'm gonna have to avoid the run test. I mean, how? There's a difference between being at camp tomorrow and being active in camp tomorrow.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound like Chandler Jones. Once again, just the Chan that I know. Now listen, he's looking for some type of security. I totally understand that, and I get that. He's looking for some kind of long term deal. Right here. And may Chandler Jones go out and actually ball out this season and then go somewhere else? Yes, absolutely. But Chan is one of the rarest dudes I've ever been around. I respect this guy so much because he didn't care. He signed this huge contract and did not care. He didn't care what down it was, what the quarter was. He didn't care what the score was. Chandler Jones went out and balled out and fulfilled every inch of that contract as far as I'm concerned. And it's the person that he is. It says so much about him. I think he'll say, hey, listen, yeah, I want to be traded. Okay, maybe it's his agent asking to be traded. I don't know how much of that is Chan and how much of that is just business and his agent saying, okay, well, you know what, we're seeking a trade then. Whatever it may be, I don't know. But I do know the dude, Chandler Jones. And to me right now, he's going to show up at some point and ball out. And I think if you're the Arizona Cardinals, what happens after that is largely going to be up to you.
Hey man, I totally get people wanting a new contract. I totally get him wanting a new contract. But why isn't it that hard for him to say, you know what, I haven't earned it yet. Coming off an injury, I get the Cardinals' position, and I haven't earned it yet. and go out and earn it.
Well, because that doesn't really create a lot of leverage for you if you're looking for a new contract. And I think that's exactly what he's looking for.
15 sacks would do a lot to get a new contract. How about that?
Once again, I think Chan is looking at it like, I tore my bicep. I mean, did you expect me to play with a torn bicep?
I don't blame him, but
yes.
Look at the Cardinals. Why shouldn't they?
And that's the logical approach, and that ultimately is why I think this is going to be a lot to do about nothing. We'll see.
I'd like to see them approach him and just simply say, okay, here's our deal. You come to practice. You work hard. You have a good season. We guarantee you, for you not holding out, we're not going to give you any more money, but we will not use the franchise tag on you. So if you don't want to stay after this year, then we're not going to stand in your way. And if you want to stay, we'll talk contract extension from you easily in 6 weeks into the regular season if you're having a good year.
I like that.
And everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And then you can earn it somewhere else. Coming up next, there's a new R word that dramatically changed Las Vegas. Now, the last time Aaron Rodgers gave us the R word.
Relax. We're going to be okay.
Out of nowhere, there's a new one. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Are the Arizona Cardinals a playoff team? 8-8, finished in a tie with the Bears. It's been a long time since I talked about it, but I think they lost the tiebreaker based on common opponents because of a bad loss to Carolina for the Cardinals, and the Bears beat Carolina. Feel free to tweet me if you think I got that wrong, because it's been, admittedly, a while since I even looked it up. But that's how close it was, and you had Minnesota right there at 7-9, who is trying to get into the playoffs. I bring this up for this reason. Is there a chance that a playoff spot is going to, in a sense, just be opened up about what's going on? Because recently there was a released on social media, which clearly was timed out, in which both Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers put up a picture with a comment of Jordan and Pippen.
Wait a minute. Jordan and Pippen.
Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen from The Last Dance.
Oh, via The Last Dance. Is this the fist pump?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
okay.
is this the end for Aaron Rodgers?
Number one would be he retires, right? And like, remember Carson Palmer 10 years ago with the Bengals, and he didn't want to play there anymore. He retired, and ultimately they trade him to the Raiders. And I think that's a possibility. It would save Aaron Rodgers the training camp fines, $50,000 a day. And it would, if he said he was retiring for medical reasons, then he could probably argue against them trying to claw back his signing bonus. There are some reasons for him to do it that way if he doesn't want to be there. I think the other option, the other possibility, is that he comes back, but only after they redo his contract to the point where it expires after this year. Right now, he's got 3 years left on his contract, only no guaranteed money after this year. But if they were to adjust it so that he were able to get out after this year, and it came with a promise that they won't franchise him, and now he has some control, maybe he comes back for one more year.
Wow. Aaron Rodgers supposedly wants $45 million a year. 45.
See, he wants either an obnoxious new contract, or he hasn't said it publicly, Gutekunst gone, or he might just retire. And the retirement thing is interesting. Have you ever heard of a young man by the name of Calvin Johnson?
Yes, I have.
Calvin Johnson is one where the Lions went after part of his signing bonus, and he's still so upset about it that as he goes into the Hall of Fame, he will not go to Ford Field. He will not receive his ring for getting into the Hall of Fame at a Lions game. And he says, if you retire my jersey, knock yourself out, I'm not going unless you give me my money back.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is willing to go that far.
Calvin, settled up.
But if he retires, the Packers let him keep the money, but they keep his rights and everything's over, okay. Or is it a Carson Palmer threat that, yes, I really will retire, but if you trade me, I'll unretire. where does this go? Because retirement, that's the key, saves him $50,000 a day in fines.
So what do you think about that tweet right there? What do you think about Davante Adams and the Aaron Rodgers thing? I mean, do you think that literally is saying this is it? For
yes,
us, right?
I do. I think they're saying, but I think they're admitting they're going to do it one more year.
Right.
And if I'm the Packers, I call his bluff and I say, listen, I'm not trading you. We'll worry about it next offseason. I am not moving you at all. I think they want Jordan Love in a pressure-free preseason where he, this is great, get all of these reps, you do everything in the preseason, yeah. Now we make a Super Bowl run with Aaron Rodgers. But if this thing really does get hairy, a playoff spot probably opens up. Now, I don't know, because the NFC Central is so average, maybe the Packers could still make the playoffs like the NFC East. Somebody's got to go, but I would have to assume the Bears or Vikings would figure something out this year to get the spot before the Packers would with Jordan Love.
You got to wonder what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers right here. I mean, this is something we're all watching very closely, obviously. I can't get out of the back of my brain. I cannot get out Mark Schlereth and the fact that he tweeted out that the Denver Broncos were going to trade. Had a deal done for Aaron Rodgers. Remember that?
Oh, I'd have to look at the Schlereth timeline, but somebody tweeted him a mocking tweet either Thursday or Friday of last week. I can't remember. And it was a repeat, and the guy said, I'm still waiting for this. And it was a link then to Mark Schlereth's Twitter handle that had Mark actually saying, this is a done deal, and Broncos are going to be trading for Aaron Rodgers. And he tweeted the guy back and said, me too. Now, I thought that was interesting because usually if you're getting blown up and proven wrong about something, you don't retweet something about somebody mocking you for being wrong.
Right.
The fact that he did it again, does he still think it's going to happen?
No, I honestly right now, just knowing Stink, you know Mark Schlereth.
Yeah.
I know Mark Schlereth. I've talked to him many occasions, ladies and gentlemen. I will tell you right now, I think he knew. Somebody told him something and it blew up in his face. Somebody told him something, and what that something was, I do not know. But somebody within the Denver Broncos organization told him something that he felt so comfortable going with, and it blew up on him. And to me, I can't get that out of the back of my brain, that is a deal that I believe was done, and something happened, and it was Mark Schlereth. It was the something of Mark Schlereth that blew it up, in my opinion.
And then there's the question of how much. I mean, are you really going to send the Packers, let's say, 3 first-round picks and then sign an aging quarterback to a 5-year, 6-year? I mean, you're going to have to pay him.
But here's the thing about Aaron Rodgers. He keeps himself in such
great
physical shape, and he's been relatively injury-free for the most part. I look at Aaron Rodgers and think, once again, could he play? Could he pull a Brady? Could he play another 5-6 years? Could he play? He's 37 years old. Could he be 43, 40? Yes, I believe he could. And because of that, man, I'd do it. I'd do it. If in fact, you had to give up a couple of first-round picks, yeah, and sign him to a 5-year contract, $45 million, yeah, I'd do it. For Aaron Rodgers, heck yeah.
By the way, I'm reading through the Peter King Football Morning in America article, and in the ongoing COVID presence, he explains life for an unvaccinated coach. Okay? Life for an unvaccinated coach. If you're an unvaccinated coach, you can't travel with the team. So you have to hope either A, your owner will fly you in a charter flight, you pay for your own charter flight, or you're actually flying commercial to road games, or you're not even there.
I think it's the latter.
And if you fly commercial, are you really going to be able to make the Monday meeting on your Sunday night flight?
What's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers, as a matter of
fact. Really?
Their broadcast team right there. Yes, I know this because my brother Craig, of course, the analyst for the Pittsburgh Steelers now, ladies and gentlemen, he's actually not flying with the team. Interesting.
Wow. An unvaccinated assistant coach cannot conduct an in-person meeting of any kind indoors. so he can only coach outdoors, and an unvaccinated assistant, if the meeting was indoors, would have to run it virtually with the guys in the room.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, that's uncomfortable.
That's a great way to look at it. Uncomfortable is pretty much a perfect way to look at it, because it looks pretty hairy right now. Coming up next, Chandler Jones. If he does come to camp tomorrow and he gets a new deal, what would that even look like? Or is it time to move him? Tell him to suck it up. The biggest piece of drama in a year that's supposed to be the year everything comes together. That's next with Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You can tweet us at Doug and Wolf 98.7. A lot of you are for this question. We'll get to it in a second. You can also text us to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 as well. And the question is really, what's your stance on Chandler Jones? What do you want to see Steve Keim and the Arizona Cardinals do? I think a lot of you know the particulars, but in case you don't, Chandler Jones is in the last year of his contract. He gets paid $15.5 million this year. If you wanted to, I know you wouldn't, but just so you know, if you wanted to cut him or trade him, it would be very cap-friendly to do that because very little of the money is left on the signing bonus portion. So therefore, that's what comes off your cap if he's no longer a player, called dead money. You don't have to worry much about that. And the cap hit of the $15 million is very, very swallowable and very, very fair for the expected production. Mm-hmm. However, you don't want to sign a guy to a new contract that's 31 years old coming off of a bicep tear. You'd like to see the product go out there a little bit.
Right.
And I think that's fair for the Cardinals. But in the new age of player that makes these types of demands, he has done nothing that violates the terms of his contract other than the small little thing of missing minicamp. That's really it. Now it gets a little heftier. If he doesn't show up tomorrow, it's a $50,000 fine.
Wow.
If he doesn't show up the next day, it's a $50,000 fine. That does not stop.
And once again, revisit for people that are out there listening right now why that's so important. That $50,000 is not your father's $50,000.
Well, the old days of camp holdouts, it was a team optional fine. And the team always knew how ridiculous they looked if they really held true to the fine. And an agent, in starting the renegotiations on a new contract, the first thing was, and you're not going to fine him, right? Like, we're not going to go forward with this unless we know every day he's out of camp, he gets no fine. The owners wised up to that bad position they were in and changed it. And in the new CBA, I still can't believe the Players Association agreed to it, but it's now a league-issued fine. Mm-hmm. So there's no opting out of the fine, which is why Deshaun Watson is in camp. The old days, he wouldn't be there. In the new days, he knows I lose $50,000 a day that I'll never recoup.
That's critical. It's one of the reasons why Chandler Jones is going to show up. He's going to show up. And to me, Chandler Jones, just knowing the competitor that he is, knowing the player that he is, knowing the guy that he is, Chandler Jones is going to ball out. That's what I think.
It's amazing how wide variety your responses are to the question. Some people, like Ramona, it's sad. I hope he stays. Like, you know, just very nice.
Yeah.
Other people, Ernest says, hey, no issue. Got to watch out for himself and his family. His numbers will likely go down with Watt in the lineup. Personally, I think they'll go up because I think you've got to pressure somebody.
Yeah.
But maybe not. But I think they'll go up. And then Ed is in completely the other way. Shut up and play. That's what Ed says.
Yes. That's a song or something like that, but shut up and play.
And
I think Chandler Jones is going to show up. If Chandler Jones doesn't show up tomorrow, now all of a sudden you got my attention on this. Seriously. It's going to be tomorrow. Chandler Jones.
That is a pretty heavy line in the sand to say, I accept losing $50,000 because I stand firm on this.
Yeah, absolutely. But just knowing Chan, once again, knowing the player that he is, knowing the guy that he is, he's going to go about his business. He is a pro's pro. That's what he does. This is part of the business. It's part of the process. Kent Summers, as a matter of fact, tweeted out something that I thought was really, really cool. Kent said, off the top of my head, Cardinals who have asked for trades over the years, Pat P, Jordan Hicks, Jones, Darnell Dockett, Anquan Boldin, Carlos Dansby, Aeneas Williams, it's part of the dance. It is part of the dance. And it has been for a couple of decades now, for the most part. It's part of the dance when a guy gets older.
But a lot of those got really rocky with the Cardinals.
It did. They did. They got rocky. But I, again, this is part of the process, and I don't think we're at the point where this becomes a huge story yet.
Here's the thing.
Not yet.
I think every organization in the NFL would like to be the Steelers in how this situation ends up happening. The Steelers are famous for telling you, we're not going to give you a contract extension until your last year.
Yes.
And the easy way to guarantee you don't get it is to hold out.
Yes.
Like, they don't even talk to you. You start your holdout, fine. We're not talking. We'll hold out from talking to you. The catch is, in order to get to that point like the Steelers are, you're going to have to go through some massive pain. People are going to test you to see, are you real? Are you really going to do this?
You're right.
Is this the Cardinals' goal, is to say, you know what, if we have to go through this, we have to go through this. Who knows how long the holdout could last? When I say the holdout, don't assume that it's happening, just if it does. If Chandler Jones sits out the whole year, he doesn't accrue a year of service time, and his contract actually then renews for next year, whether he wants to or not. So he does have to come back at some point and play, I believe it's the last six games of the year.
Listen, this to me is not a difficult decision for the Arizona Cardinals. It really isn't.
Don't trade, don't negotiate.
You gotta, hey Chan, listen, we wanna make sure you're healthy. We wanna make sure that here you are, you're 31 years old, you're coming back, you're coming off the bicep tear, you're coming off missing all those games last year. You only played in five games, you only had one sack. We wanna make sure that you are healthy. Come back and ball out, and then maybe we'll talk during this last year of the contract about re-signing you. That is a simple decision for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, I understand Chan. I understand his motives and what he's trying to get right here. He wants long-term security. This is going to be it. This is the big payday, the last big payday he's going to be able to get in the National Football League. Most likely is going to be this deal right here. He's going into his last year. He wants long-term security. Well, you're going to have to go prove it.
That's the thing for me, is I think it's a little, you know, kind of a small crack in the wall, because if you believe you're healthy and you're going to be able to go prove it, then why can't you do it this year? If you need that security right now, because why would you need it? You're worried you might get hurt this year. Now, granted, football's a violent game. People get hurt all the time. I'm not saying you shouldn't be worried a little bit about an injury factor every single time you step on the football field. But I kind of have the general belief that logic would dictate it's hard to play defensive line with a torn bicep. That's hard.
Yeah.
And therefore, if that happens to you, that doesn't mean you're always predisposed to injuries, but it could be your body's breaking down. The Cardinals want to see. You want this new contract? I guarantee you a way to get it. You put up, I'll throw the number out at 10. You give me 10 sacks in the first 5 or 6 weeks, let's talk about a contract extension.
Yeah.
If the Cardinals stink and they're not very physical, guess what? They're going to want to trade you because they want to get something for you before the year ends.
Yeah.
You win no matter what happens if you play well.
It's just so interesting. Chandler Jones is a guy that I respect and love so much. Rarely would you ever say, you know what, play this year, go ahead, and we'll renegotiate in good faith and give you a long-term. What kind of deal could you possibly say? A four-year contract going into his mid-30s, 36 years old? You're going to give Chandler Jones money all the way into 36 years old when edge rushers, for the most part, have a long history of kind of falling off at about 31, 32 years of age? Mm-hmm. Are you going to do that? This is where it gets difficult. Right now, it's not difficult for the Arizona Cardinals. The path is very, very clear as far as I'm concerned. You got to make him go out and prove that he's healthy. Once again, he's healthy, he's okay, and he's Chandler Jones. And once that happens, now the interest level is going to be spiked, obviously. But That's a dicey proposition if you sign him to a four-year contract for big money. And, oh, by the way, when you start talking about the best pass rushers in the National Football League coming off the edge, you better start with a 20. Better be $20 million. Better start there. Wow. That's a lot of money to actually extend to a guy that is an edge rusher who's going to be living that contract out into his mid-30s.
But when you don't have Pat P, and the biggest question mark on this team is probably corner, you better be able to get to the quarterback. And if he does hold out, man, does that hurt.
And I think there's a little bit of just the salivation that is going on here as well. And I think Chandler Jones' agent knows this. And the possibility of having J.J. Watt and Chan on opposite sides, right? And it, I don't mean on the edge. Maybe you got J.J. Watt as a three technique opposite of Chandler Jones. Maybe you're going to put them side by side, whatever it may be. The ability to have these guys in your pass rush, I think maybe Chandler Jones and his agent are holding the Cardinals hostage on that vision, if you know what I mean.
But granted, nothing's happened yet. Nothing violating the contract other than missing minicamp happens until tomorrow morning, and then we see if Chandler Jones is there and active.
Hey, if you want to see it, you know what? You better pay him.
Coming up next, what are the biggest stories you need to know coming out of the weekend in the last couple hours? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.